When was the last time you went to see your primary care doctor? For a lot of us, it might have been a while. Instead, when we get sick, more of us are going to walk-in healthcare clinics, retail clinics like the one we find at local Walgreens or CVS pharmacies. In fact, they seem to be popping up everywhere. Banner Health recently announced it's opening a string of these retail clinics at 3 different Safeway grocery stores throughout the state.
The idea is they're easier, faster, and cheaper, but there are also concerns about this trend in healthcare. To take a closer look at this, I got a hold of Atib Mehrotra. He's an associate professor of healthcare policy at Harvard's Medical School and a researcher with the RAND Corporation. He's studied some of the concerns about retail health clinics, mostly involving the big players like MinuteClinic and Walgreens clinics. First of all, he says these aren't the same as urgent care clinics or going to the emergency room. They mostly treat what he calls simple acute problems, colds, sinus infections, simple rashes, things like that. And you're most likely going to see a nurse practitioner there. He says there are a lot of things behind this trend, but we started by talking about price. Are these clinics cheaper than going to get treated elsewhere?
When we say cheaper, I think you've got to be really careful. Cheaper to who, right? So if you have a high deductible health plan and you haven't reached your deductible, it's cheaper to the patient. If it's you're past the deductible or you are in a, you know, PPO plan that doesn't have a deductible, then often it's going to depend on what the copayment is. Usually it's about the same copayment as a doctor's office visit.
So prices is one thing, the cost is one thing, but are there concerns about availability to primary care physicians? Like, I can't remember the last time I went to my primary care physician. I have one and he has my records, right? But I wonder how much of this has to do with ease.
Right. When we've interviewed patients and we ask them, you know, what are the reasons you go there? Number one, two, and three are convenience. And the convenience is a couple of different dimensions. The first is, yeah, you call your doctor's office and then it's a long delay. You know, a couple days, and you're like, no, I just want to take care of the problem right away. And I think we as a society are moving towards something where we expect, you know, we can get banking 24 hours a day. For healthcare problems, we want more quick service than that, I think, is the average American wants.
Is it also to do with sort of a nationwide problem here that there is a shortage of primary care physicians? More and more of them are retiring, fewer physicians are going into that field.
Yeah, so I think that the Affordable Care Act broadly expanded insurance for more and more people, which is great. And those people, the first thing they're going to do if they have a chronic medical issue is go in and see a primary care doctor to manage their diabetes, their high blood pressure, their asthma, or any other medical problem they have. Well, we didn't also expand the primary care supply at the same time. And so I think that those patients who are appropriately going in to get care have maybe in some communities exacerbated already existing access issues.
Right. And the rise of these kinds of clinics has also sparked a lot of controversy on the other side of this, right? That there are concerns that come to this. Like if I can't remember the last time I went to my primary care doctor and I've seen a nurse practitioner who's a different person every single time I've gone in for an ear infection or something. Are there medical concerns there? Are there concerns with records?
Right. So I think you hit upon it, that there's a bunch of different dimensions upon which they're concerned. The first is that you're going to see a nurse practitioner at this random clinic, which is run by a for-profit company, and the care you're going to get is poor. And there's going to be low quality care. The second dimension is related to continuity of care. You go to this random retail clinic, they have their records, but they don't connect their records to your primary care site. And so let's say you had an allergic reaction. Well, your primary care doctor doesn't know about that allergic reaction because it's not in the same electronic health record. Another part of that continuity is the relationship continuity. You know, you go to the retail clinic, they're going to take care of your ear infection, for example. But if you go to your doctor for your ear infection, they'll also say, well, wait a minute, you're not up to date on your prevention. Do you need a pap smear? You need a mammogram? You need a colonoscopy?
How many of those in the research bear out to be real legitimate concerns, do you think?
A mixture. There's no perfect thing in science, right? So on one end, it's pretty clean, the quality side. There we found in our research and the research of others that the care provided at a retail clinic for these problems is equal or in some cases even superior to the quality of care we're seeing at doctor's offices and urgent care centers and emergency departments. The informational continuity, that the records aren't going back and forth. And I think that is just, it's true. There's nothing to say about that more, except that in the case of Banner introducing those, Banner is going to have the same electronic health record at their retail clinics as they have at their other sites. So in for them, if you're a Banner patient, it's not going to be an issue. And another point that I've heard a lot is, well, yeah. I mean, if you have cancer, if you have a transplant, this type of stuff is critical. But if you take an overall healthy, I don't know, 30-year-old woman who has a urinary tract infection, she can just tell you, right? You know? And so is that informational continuity as critical with the, you know, overall healthier patients who are the patients who are treated there? And then what we find is that those patients who go to those care sites, they kind of like the clinics and they go back to them, and it does hurt relationship continuity. On the other hand, we have not found any harm in terms of the likelihood that a patient will get preventive care or have, you know, testing done for, say, for their diabetes.
Ativ Mehrotra is an associate professor of healthcare policy and medicine at Harvard's Medical School and an adjunct researcher with the RAND Corporation. Ativ, thanks so much for coming on the show to explain this to us.
It was my pleasure.
So what do primary care doctors think about this trend? The American Academy of Family Physicians has said that patient care suffers when continuity of care isn't maintained. But Dr. Andrew Carroll, a family physician in Chandler, says doctors like him also need to respond to retail clinics by looking in the mirror. I sat down with him recently to talk more about what he's done to adapt.
Our concern, of course, in primary care is this a means of stealing business away from primary care?
Yeah.
And their advertising mantra was care when you need it, whereas primary care maybe wasn't doing such a great job of that. And patients would call to their primary care provider. Primary care providers would say, well, I can't see you for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sick today and I don't feel well today. And this filled that need. So unfortunately, primary care physicians really kind of came late to the game. And this whole convenience factor, the immediate satisfaction that people are looking for in terms of their health care, primary care really has had to change the way they do business in order to combat that model.
That's interesting. So your reaction is not, we need to push this business off of the map here. Your reaction is sort of, we need to fix what we do.
Well, obviously, you know, when you, they are filling a need where a need exists, and primary care physicians weren't maybe doing such a great job of allowing or making sure that they were available to patients on the day they were sick. And so even before the minute clinics existed, there was this whole movement in primary care to offer what's called open access scheduling, which is where a physician would not schedule 60-70% of their appointments before the day started. I adopted that model back in 2000, and it reduced our no-show rate and improved patient satisfaction because patients could get care on the day they wanted it. So for us, it wasn't such a big deal. But for a physician who pre-scheduled 32 patients in a day and was double booking on top of that, would make it difficult to see the low acuity patient, somebody with a sore throat for 4 days or burning on urination for a few days. Those patients really want to be seen because they're in pain and they're sick today. And their primary care physicians weren't addressing the need.
Yeah.
Well, large corporations figured out how they could address the need on a very simple and cost-effective basis, which patients responded to, and that's why the model is successful today.
Yeah, yeah. So the American Association of Family Physicians, which you're a member of, has been critical of this in that sense. The concern seems to be continuity of care, right? Like if you go to a different nurse practitioner or even physician every time you're sick, are they going to catch things?
Right. So, you know, I don't speak for the AAFP, but I know that the AAFP has been critical because of this concern about fracturing of care, receiving care in other locations that wasn't coordinated through the primary care physician. These corporations have attempted to address these needs by making sure that the primary care physician was brought into the loop when such care was delivered. So very often, especially if it's Walgreens or CVS or one of these other larger companies, they will fax me or send electronically to me a note regarding the care that my patients received in their office, as long as the patient identifies me as their primary care physician.
Right.
So I think that they are responding to the concern. But until primary care physicians really address the accessibility issue within their own offices, these models will continue to grow. I think it's important that physicians get on the bandwagon in terms of making sure that they have the access to immediate care, which I think is what patients really want.
Can you describe for us, though, how different you think it might be for a patient who comes to see you for a cold or a sinus infection or a urinary tract infection, one of these common things that they see in these retail clinics, versus someone who just says, you know, it's easier, I'm just going to go to one of these easy walk-in clinics?
So as their primary care physicians, really not a whole lot of questions to ask because I already know everything about them. And by knowing everything about them, not only do I know maybe medications that haven't worked well for them, medications that maybe they had adverse reactions to in the past, and also the myriad medical problems that they have in addition to their acute illness, I'll know the best way to tailor the treatment towards their person as a whole rather than just saying, oh, it's strep throat, this is what we give you.
So you're saying that your clinic in particular and many other family physicians have responded to this, so have changed scheduling or trying to become more easily accessible in this way. How widespread do you think that is?
I think that payers are starting to push primary care physicians into the models of accessibility because it reduces the cost of care. So physicians are trying to figure out, well, how can we be more accessible to our patients so that they don't go to the emergency room, that they don't go to urgent cares? And I think that that's starting to come into the lexicon of primary care delivery. I think that there are ways that us primary care physicians can do a good job, still make what we need to make in order to keep the lights on, but also deliver the care of the immediacy that patients really want.
All right, Dr. Andrew Carroll is a family physician with Atembus, a practice in Chandler. Dr. Carroll, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Laura.